Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Wow, that's so nice. Can we do that one more time? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's just fantastic. Man, I so love watching the little guys come up here. And I especially like it when, you know, Dave's pouring his heart out in prayer. You know, God bless him. He's pouring his heart out in prayer, and there's kids going, that's just awesome. Isn't it wonderful that God has blessed us with little children in our midst? That's a grace. That's a grace and a wondrous thing. Before we get started, why don't we offer up a quick word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the chance that we have to gather together and to sing your praises, to rejoice in the birth of your Son. And Father, as we spend time now in your word, we pray that your Spirit would be present here in this moment, that your Spirit would indwell in us and anoint this time and would be drawing out that which you need us to hear. So Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the adoration, for you are worthy of it. We pray this in Christ's most holy and excellent of names. Amen. Now, I have to tell you, one of the things that I enjoy about Christmas is I enjoy going back through the Christmas story again. And it seems like each year I find some other character in the Christmas narrative that I'm kind of drawn to in that particular season. So, for instance, sometimes a while back it was Zechariah and Elizabeth. I kept thinking about how neat it was that their stories were so intricately intertwined with that of Joseph and Mary, and how we get to see this parallel process of John the Baptist being born around the same time as Jesus. And then there's Simeon and the prophetess Anna as they faithfully wait in the temple. Year after year, they're waiting for the consummation of Israel. They want to wait and see that God will be true to his promise. What a wonderful example of faithfulness. And then, who can forget the wise men? You know, these Gentile wise men that come out of the East and they travel as a part of the birth story and the narrative of the couple of years after that story. And how they have to interact with Herod, that wicked fox. And they have to figure out how to get to where they're going and at the same time not expose the child to more danger. It's really remarkable. And then there were shepherds. Then there were shepherds. And this year I found myself kind of drawn to them. So I thought what we'd do is we'd camp on Luke chapter 2. We'd look at Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20. And we'd spend a little time looking at the shepherds. Because I think God has something for us there. So we're going to quickly read through the story. I know it's a big passage, but good to just have the story in our minds. And I would encourage you to be following along in your Bible. Trust that you have brought your Bible for services. And I would encourage you to bring your Bible each Sunday so you have it right there with you. So let me read through the story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And there were shepherds living out in the fields. Now, shepherds in first century Palestine, they practiced an ancient, a really truly ancient vocation. It was hard, I suspect, and dirty work. I mean, you're around sheep all day. And it required that they be outdoors and able to fend for themselves because, you know, they had to deal with all kinds of different weather as they were working, and they had to take care of their flocks, which meant they had to protect them not only from predators, but they also had to protect them from people. And shepherding had deep roots in Hebrew culture. In fact, it was rather romanticized and sometimes idealized in Hebrew literature. If you look through the Psalms and the Proverbs, you see it rather lifted up as an example of God's overshadowing of us. But the truth be told, as the people had moved away from their more nomadic roots, they settled and focused more on planting and harvesting. And sheep were kind of troublesome to those who planted and harvested. And so shepherding as a whole was kind of, was not accorded the respect that it once had when they were more of a nomadic people. So there were shepherds. And they were out in the fields, and they were doing what shepherds do. They were shepherding. They were watching their flocks. They're living life. They're working the night shift. Can you relate? Just people, kind of going through the motions, doing what they needed to do, you know? Living life, working the night shift. And I imagine that for the most part, that particular evening looked no different than the evening before that. Or the evening before that. Or the one before that. Can you relate to that? Life just kind of goes on. You know, you do your job, you work, you continue to work. Day looks the same as the day before that. But it wasn't. It wasn't. God was about to break into their rhythms and their routines. He was about to break into the darkness of that evening, and he was going to shine a light upon them. And the scripture says this, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." And brothers and sisters, they had every reason to be terrified. First of all, there is an angel in front of them. There's an angel there. Now, regardless of the fact that our culture often portrays angels in popular literature as kind of, you know, kind of effeminate and delicate and gentle, you know, kind of ethereal. And often, you know, if you read accounts of people who say they've been in the presence of an angel, they feel the sense of peace and calm. That's a little different than the picture of angels in the scripture. See, in the scriptures, angels come across as a lot more intimidating than that. Let's first recognize that angels are, by definition, messengers. That's what that word means, angelos, means messenger. So if you're in front of an angel, if an angel is speaking to you, that angel is there speaking the words of God. And they are there at the behest of God to do what God told them to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And so if you're in the presence of an angel, recognize that that angel bears with them the authority of God. It'd be kind of like, it reminds me of those, you know, some of those old mafia movies. It's the way my mind works. You know, and inevitably, the mafioso, he doesn't leave his place. He sends an underling, right? And the underling comes and he always says, "This is what you're going to do. You're going to do it this way. You're going to do it that way." And the reason he's so intimidating is because he actually bears a message from someone farther up the food chain. Now, if you're in the presence of an angel, he's bearing a message that's way up the food chain. That's intimidating stuff. And let's also remember that angels in the scripture are often portrayed as warriors. It was an angel called the destroyer that killed all the firstborn in Egypt. It was an angel in Isaiah 37 who struck down 185,000 Assyrian warriors. One angel. 185,000. Amazing. It was an angel that was engaged in heavenly warfare in the book of Daniel chapter 10 as he tried to get to Daniel to bring him a message from God. It's angels that God uses to inaugurate the end days in Revelation 8 and 9. It was an angel that stood before Zechariah and announced that he would have a son, John the Baptist. And Zechariah was afraid. So it seems to me understandable that the presence of an angel would be intimidating. And also, keep this in mind. For nearly 400 years, there had been silence. The prophets had been silent. No one spoke for God in that time period. And then suddenly, there's an angel in front of the shepherds, and he's speaking to them. It's as though God had returned. Must have been unbelievably frightening. But the shepherds not only saw the angel that night, keep this in mind, they also saw the glory of the Lord shine around them. Now, this phrase, the glory of the Lord, it's synonymous with the splendor and the honor and the praise and the worthiness of God. The rabbis had a word for this glory of the Lord. They used the word Shekinah glory. It's not a word you find in Scripture, but it was a way of capturing the grandeur and the magnificence, because the word meant he dwells with you. Shekinah. He's right there in your presence. He's magnified in your presence. And so it was the glory of the Lord that marked God's presence with the people when they left Egypt. When they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, it was the glory of the Lord that led them out of slavery. It was the glory of the Lord that was present on Mount Sinai when Moses received the law. It was the glory of the Lord that filled the tabernacle in the temple and announced his presence in those places, his presence among his people. And it's that same glory of the Lord, that Shekinah glory, that now was present before these shepherds. So the shepherds were in the presence of an angel, and the glory of the Lord shone around them and pierced through that darkness of that night and into their everyday lives. It's as if in that moment, they were actually in the presence of in the court of the king. They went from standing outside to suddenly we're in the presence of God Almighty with his messenger in his Shekinah glory shining out. And there they were, just shepherds, overwhelmed by this display of power. Illuminated in the light of God's glory, they must have felt exceedingly small. And can you imagine how ill-prepared they felt to stand in the presence of the king? To stand in the presence of his, in his throne room, within the glory of who God was. To stand there. Isn't that so like us? Isn't that so like us? When we actually finally meet the Jesus for the first time, when we enter into, he enters into our space, how often do I find that people respond with fear because we recognize just how small we are? We recognize how sinful we are, how broken we are. And it elicits fear. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to folks and have been sharing the gospel and they say, oh no, that can't be true. I'm not a good man. I'm not good enough. And what's coming out of them is that fear in the presence of a holy, righteous God. Here they were in front of the Shekinah glory, and I suspect they were terrified, and they were terrified of God's judgment in that moment. Just like the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, when in the presence of God he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. Or how about our brother Peter? When he had seen a display of Jesus' power, he said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner. Here they are. An angel is saying praise and talking to them, and the Shekinah glory is there, and they're just shepherds. It must have been terrifying. It must have been terrifying. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. How typical of an angel. That's also something that comes along with angelic visits. So often angels will say, no, don't be afraid. Another reason why I suspect they're pretty intimidating. You know, if you're a little tiny thing, you know, little fatsy little wings, kind of effeminate and gentle, hard to think they'd say, do not be afraid. You know, you kind of be looking like, what's there to be afraid of? The angel stands before them and says, do not be afraid. In the middle of this display, in the middle of this majestic moment, the angel didn't come to pronounce judgment on God's behalf. He brought good news to them. News that would not only settle their fear, but would replace it with joy. And the news was this, that on that very day, in the town of David, another name for Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Three things about this one who had come. This one is born as Savior. It was this child who had come that through his life and his death and his ultimate resurrection, it was he who would break the power of sin and death. The sin and death that held mankind enslaved. This child had come to break that power and to make us able to stand before a righteous God, called holy and clean by an act of his. He was Savior. This child had come born as Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. He was the one that God had promised to provide them. It was through the birth of this child that God had fulfilled his promise to bring a redeemer. He had told the people down through the centuries, a Messiah is coming, a Messiah is coming, a Messiah is coming. And here he is. Ta-da! He's arrived. God had not forgotten them. God had been found faithful to them. And this one born not only as Savior and as the Messiah, the one who demonstrated God's faithfulness to them, he was also Lord. Lord, he was the one who had come to finally rule over them, to restore his righteous rule over his people, and to inaugurate his kingdom among them. He was Savior. He was Messiah. He was Lord. And the news of this child as Savior and Messiah and Lord was such wonderful news that it would overwhelm the terrors of the moment and it bring them joy. And with that news, and with that glorious news, the angel offered them a sign, a proof, if you will, that his testimony was true. He said, you'll find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And with that news, and with that proof, the angelic host began to sing praises to God. And now can you imagine the scene? An angel, the glory of the Lord shining around them, and now this angelic host singing praises to God. Reminds me of the passage of Scripture where it says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, right? And here is the entire heavenly host singing praises to God at this moment, recognizing not only the glory and the grandeur of what God was doing, but I believe what God was doing also in those shepherds in that moment. He was at work in them, drawing them to himself, not just the people. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that's been happening, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now again, the darkness had been pierced. They got an angel. We got the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. We have the heavenly host singing, oh! Crickets. From woo to nothing. Can you imagine what that was like? Picture that scene. Just the crickets. Now, I also think there was pandemonium there. Okay? Because sheep are scared by everything. Okay? Now, Scripture doesn't say this, but I'm pretty sure there was utter pandemonium. We got utter. That's cute. That's cute. So you got this magnificent thing going on. You got sheep, I suspect, running hither and yon. And then it's silent. And all you can hear is blah, blah, blah. And they realize, oh, we're shepherds. And they got to go collect all the sheep. I think that's why it says when the angels had left, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. I think they were doing that while they were actually, I don't think they formed a committee. I think they were trying to gather the sheep. And while they were doing that, they said, we got to go to Bethlehem. We got to go to Bethlehem. Get over here. Get over here. And they're grabbing sheep and they're trying to collect all that. I know it's a little extra scriptural. But I think that's what it looked like. I think that's what it looked like. And so having received this news, they decided, we're going to Bethlehem. We're going to go to Bethlehem. And so they went, and they acted in faith. And they decided to trust what they had heard from the angel. And it says they hurried off after they collected the sheep. And they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the baby lying in the manger, just as the angel of the Lord had said they would. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now let's notice the transformation that's occurred here. Their night had started off probably just like any other night. What are you going to do tonight, Bob? Watch the sheep. What are you going to do, Stan? Watch the sheep. And then, from the mundane to, terror. Terror. And then terror was turned to joy. This joy led them to act in faith in search of the child. Can you imagine a wilder roller coaster ride? Oh my goodness. And having once seen this child, having understood that what they had been told was true, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And what does the scripture say? The scripture says that people were amazed. Now they may have been amazed because of the nature of the revelation. That probably sounded amazing. They may have been amazed. They may well have been amazed by what they said, what the shepherds said they were told about Jesus. They may well have been amazed simply that it was shepherds testifying that they had heard from God. But regardless of what they were amazed by, they were amazed, the people that listened. But Mary, I love this contrast, but Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. She pondered these things. Now, that kind of makes sense. I mean, that kind of makes sense if you think about it. The people were hearing the news for the first time. The shepherds were hearing the news for the first time. So they were right in the middle of it. But Mary, she already knew, right? She already knew. After all, she had had her moment when the angel Gabriel had told her who the child was that she was going to carry. And she had announced her submission to God's will and sung praises to God. And then she had gone on to be a mom. And now she could sit back and ponder how God was working in the lives of others who were just hearing this news for the very first time. Can you just imagine it? It's like you've come to Jesus, you've come to Christ, and you're all excited. Woohoo! This is great stuff. And you've demonstrated, and God has demonstrated that He's true. But the people who know Christ already often are in the background. They're just kind of treasuring the moment. You're just hearing it now. That's pretty cool. Look what God is doing in you. Look what God is at work doing. That's pretty fabulous. So don't have to get all excited again like that. Woohoo! Instead, they just say, that's just awesome. Look what God is doing. That sounds like such a mom response. Such a mom response. And after the shepherds spread the word, they returned, and they went back to their fields. They went back to their routines and the rhythms of shepherding. But like Mary, they were different. They were different. Now they returned to their labors, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and all the things they had seen. They returned to their work in worship and praise of God. And I'm quite sure they spent a good deal of time pondering what they had seen and heard and treasuring the moment in their hearts. Now here's a thought. Perhaps not a very profound one, but a thought nonetheless. I think we're a lot like the shepherds in the story. You see, like shepherds, we're pretty normal people, most of us. Sorry to say, most of us we're average. We go to work. We do what's required of us. We raise our families and we live our lives. But generally speaking, we avoid fame. Generally speaking, we live in a relative anonymity, known by few. But then Christmas comes. And Christmas reminds us there was a time in our lives when God made his presence known. When God broke into the darkness of our lives. He broke into the rhythms. He broke into the routines of our lives. Now, it's not likely that you first heard the news of Jesus from an angel of the Lord, or surrounded by the glory of God, or with the heavenly host singing his praises, although it's not impossible. You recognize that. God can introduce the Christ to you any way he chooses to. But it's more likely that you came to know the truth of Jesus through the quiet teaching of a faithful mom or dad, or a dear friend's testimony, or through some other way. And although the message was not as likely dramatic as that first Christmas morning, it came with the very same power. It came with the same power because all people come to know Jesus by the will of God, and it is the power of God that awakens our heart to our need. It is the power of God at work in us that calls us to the need for a Savior. And it is the power of God that brought a Savior into our lives. And it's the power of God who worked through Jesus to live his life, to hang on a cross, and to die for us. And it is the power of God that holds our salvation for eternity, to never perish, spoil, or fade. It is the power of God at work in all of us who come to know Christ. And it is every bit, if not visually dramatic, it is every bit a measure of God's power when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, when you came to know the Christ. And sometimes, like the shepherds, we greet the presence of God, that message of God's presence piercing through our darkness, we greet it with fear. As I've said, I've met many people over the years who, when called by the gospel, initially react with fear because they recognize their smallness. We recognize our brokenness. We recognize our need. We recognize that what God should bring to us is condemnation and judgment, and yet, through Jesus, he says, no, do not be afraid. I have come. I have come as Savior. And like the shepherds, we learned that Jesus had come to bring, not to bring condemnation, but to bring salvation. We learned that he was our Savior, the one who was the Messiah, the Lord. He was the one who had the power to set us right with God and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that our fear could be turned to joy, so that our mourning could be turned to dancing. And like the shepherds, you and I have to decide what we're going to do with what we've been told. Truth be told, the shepherds could have stayed in the fields. After this amazing announcement, they could have stayed watching their flocks, arguing over what they had seen, doubting the veracity of the experience, or just questioning the message, and all the while choosing just to stay with their flocks and not go into Bethlehem to see the child. But they did go. They did respond. And like the shepherds, so must we have. We had to go too. We had to respond to God's call. And like the shepherds, we are changed when we're in the presence of Jesus. Having once received him as Savior, having received him as Messiah and Lord, we find ourselves wanting to tell others about him. We want to make known the news of his birth in our lives. We want others to know what he's at work in us doing, so they too can be amazed and they too can see how God is at work in their lives. Like the shepherds, having once heard the news of Jesus and having responded to that news, we now are called to not only share our lives, but to live our lives in praise and glory and adoration of his name. We're to go back to our day-to-day and now live our lives glorifying him, submitted to him, living for him, that others might see him at work in us. So I think we're a lot more like the shepherds than maybe we know. And at Christmas time, I get a chance to be reminded of just how shepherdly I can be. And how wondrous a work God has done in bringing the Christ for someone like me. So this Christmas, I would ask you to remember that special day when Jesus was born. Not only born to the earth, but born into your life. Remember that day when you first heard of him. Remember that day when you received him and that fear of condemnation was broken and you are now received, an adopted child in the household of faith. Remember that moment on Christmas morning when you were changed. And what happened in you was the desire to share Jesus with others, to live to his glory and to his praise. And if you're here this morning and you are seemingly hearing the story of Christmas for the very first time, then like the shepherds, I would announce to you this day that Christmas morning, we pronounce the birth. We acknowledge the birth of the Savior. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Messiah. And he is calling to you. And he's telling you that God isn't coming to condemn you. God is called to save you. God is called to draw you to himself. God is called to have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that your sins would be forgiven, you would be declared holy and righteous, and that you would live forever in light of his wondrous deed in your life. That's what Christmas morning can mean for you if today you're hearing it for the very first time. Your Savior has come, and I pray that as you're opening those gifts, you'll be reminded that there is so much greater gift that you should be awed by. Be awed by him. Go to him. Trust him. Put your faith in him. He will be found true. He will be found faithful. And you will find one who loves you more than you could ever ask or imagine. Like the shepherds, go to Bethlehem. Put your trust in the Christ and leave changed and renewed. It's Christmas time. So Merry Christmas. And peace be to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for the birth of the Savior. And I pray, Father God, that you would be at work in us, reminding us of how you've been at work in us. And I pray further, Father God, that if there is any here today that do not know you, that they would be reminded that Jesus came to save them. He is their wondrous Christmas gift. Amen.